New season, new year, new chance. Let's go.
No challenge too difficult.
No sacrifice or self-denial too great. Team first. Team last. Team always.
We are back at the University at Albany in upstate New York. The Giants are back from their trip to Jacksonville for the first preseason game, where they lost to the Jaguars in a late, tight game. The Giants only have two practices left here in Albany before they head back to the Timex Performance Center in East Rutherford for the rest of training camp. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, everybody. It's presented by Andrew Mark right here on Giants.com or on the Giants mobile app on your phone. Today's guest is Michael Eisen, beat reporter for Giants.com. Michael, welcome.
Thank you, John.
All right. Two pieces of good news in practice today. Two players back on the practice field, Dominic Hixon and, of course, William Beatty.
Well, Dominic Hixon, it's good to see him. Obviously, he probably could have played in the game, but it was a preseason game, so let's leave him out. Will Beatty is more of a question mark because he's had an ongoing back issue, and even Tom Coughlin said, let's see how he can do tomorrow. So, yeah, it was great to see him on the field again, but we need him to be out there every day.
Now, there are a ton of ways for you to participate in the show. First of all, you can give us a call, 518-437-3774. You can also send in your questions via Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat, or go to the Giants message boards, put your questions in there, or you can go to BigBlueInteractive.com and put in your questions there. We're going to go to BBI.com for our first question. How does William Beatty look at practice, Mike?
Well, he remained upright, which was good.
And, low standards
all
these
kidding
days.
Aside, I mean, when you have a back issue, James Brewer, for instance, came out to practice and did not make it through practice and had to be carted off because of a similar back issue, or at least a back issue. Beatty looked good. I went and watched some of the one-on-one drills with the defensive linemen. I'm not an expert in line play, but he looked fine to me. Let's see how he does tomorrow.
All right, Mike, a couple other players that did not practice today. A fellow offensive lineman, Jim Cordell, did not go, and neither did defensive tackle Sean Rogers.
Yeah, Sean Rogers had some swelling in the knee after the game. Doctors are examining him to find out what that is. And Jim Cordell, the backup center, has a sore knee. Did not sound serious.
Jaquan Williams still not back at practice. Neither was Dustin Chateau or David Douglas, three guys that were hurt going into the preseason.
Yeah, the Jaquan Williams thing I think is getting interesting. He really hasn't practiced for about 10 days.
I don't think coach thinks it's very interesting.
Yeah, I know. And he says it just takes time, and he doesn't seem that concerned, but he has missed a lot of practice time, and he's still a second-year player who's inexperienced. He needs to be out on the field.
And not a ton of standout plays at practice today, but Dominic Hixon did have one really nice catch and also a couple good catches by Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, you're not going to get a lot of big things happening in a practice less than 48 hours after a game. It's kind of a let's get a sweat run through type thing, although Tom Coughlin did want the pace picked up several times. I thought one thing that was a little discouraging was Ramsey Farding being unable to hold on to a couple of passes on the right sideline in his direction, but it was good to see Hixon back there.
Entre Roll did have a nice pick in the secondary, stepping in front and intercepting Eli Manning.
Yeah, and also Martellus Bennett had a nice play in the red zone drill late, and he's really been coming on recently.
All right, let's talk about the preseason game. We got to see the Giants rookie class on the field for the first time. Obviously very exciting. I know one guy the fans were very excited to see was David Wilson. They kind of unveiled him in half number two, and boy, he brought that explosion that he shows on the practice field to the game.
He really did, both running the ball and especially on that 48-yard kickoff return. We haven't had a 48-yard kickoff return in 3 years. I want to make sure it was us out there. So he really looks like he'll bring a dimension of speed and explosion that we haven't had around here in a long time, both on offense and in the return game.
We are taking your calls at 518-437-3774, 518-437-3774. You can also send in your questions via Twitter to hashtag GiantsChat. Get us those questions. We'll get them right on the air. All right, Mike, another rookie that had a good showing, a little bit late, a little quiet in the first half, Reuben Randall. And to me, that's the exact type of play that the Giants envisioned when they drafted Reuben Randall. using that big frame near the goal line, boxing out the defensive back, jumping, going up, and getting the touchdown.
Yeah, that defensive back, I forget who it was on the Jaguars, probably won't be on the team, but he really had no chance.
No chance.
No chance. I mean, Randall just out-jumped him, out-boxed him, too strong, and it's nice to see him come in and make a play like that early. Even he said, I got that first score, first catch out of the way, I can relax a little bit. I think we're going to start to see him do a lot more now.
Now, I had a chance to talk to both Randall and Wilson after the game. I'm sure you did, too. And both guys were very careful to say things like, look, we're not there yet. We're still learning the offense. Both guys said we made mistakes. We have a lot of work to do. We're both trying to get better. David Wilson brought up that play in the final 2 minutes where he screwed up the hot read on the handoff from Ryan Perilou. And Randall obviously has to get his routes and all that stuff, his reads down as well. Because a lot of the offense is reading the defensive back and they're running around, and him and Eli have to be on the same page.
John, I hope if we're sitting here a year from now, they're also saying, I don't have it all yet
right.
either. I mean, they've got a lot to learn, and it's not all going to be this year. But they are off to impressive starts. But again, we shouldn't make, I think, too much out of one game. It's all about consistency. And certainly if they stay healthy, the challenge is, for them is going to be later in the year when they're not used to playing such a long season. You got to remember, coming out of college, 12, 13 games here with the four preseason games plus the regular season, they'll play at least 20 games.
Now, early on, we did see some good things from Jayron Hosley as well. He had two punts that he caught. One, he ran back for about, 15, 16 yards after a couple of nice moves. Had a sack of the quarterback as well.
He did play well defensively and early on in special teams. Obviously, the...
I'll get to it. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, you go ahead then.
Well, here we go. Then the bag comes.
Yes.
End of the first half. Here comes the punt. It's coming down. Looks like he has it. Off the shoulder pad. He muffs it. Jaguars recover. Turns into a touchdown. Coach Coughlin not pleased.
He's not pleased, and really today, for the third day in a row, he harped on that.
Shocking.
He's obviously having trouble letting that go, and which is understandable. You can't have those mistakes. Today, Coach added even a new dimension to his comments about the muff punt at the end of the half by saying, look, we're up 24-7, there's 41 seconds to go, just let it drop and we'll run out the time. Instead, Hosley made a bad play, and really that was the start of the comeback, that play right there, because the Jaguars took it right in and scored.
And to make Coach even happier, Mr. Hosley was not the only player
alone
to muff a punt. And for a guy like Gerald Jernigan, who had the same issue last year in the preseason, it looked like he had it fixed in practice. He caught everything the last 2 weeks up here in Albany. Gets into a game, muff punt, recovered by Jacksonville, and he just can't afford those types of mistakes.
Yeah, two things there, John. Don't believe what a player says. Look at what he does.
Right.
Because how many times has he told us, he's a great kid, but how many times has he told us that he's over the problem? And secondly, you just can't make mistakes like that.
No.
I mean, if you're trying to secure a roster spot, you're trying to win a job as a punt returner, and it's very different, as we saw yet again, even in a preseason, from practice to a game. And you just cannot make mistakes like that in a game. They're too glaring. The coaches are not going to forget them.
And he also had what I'll consider a drop pass, but he was pass interfered with on the play. Somebody grabbed his arm. It was a pass he could have came down with, but it would have been a great catch.
But, you know, John, even if he had made a great catch and scored, we'd still be talking about
very
the muff punt. And that's what you remember, and you can't have that. And, again, it proves you can do great things on the practice field here, but under the bright lights, and even in the preseason, there are bright lights. You've got to perform.
Let's take some calls at 518-437-3774. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
What's up, guys? This is Bory from Brick.
Bory, what's up?
I got a two-part question, one offense, one defense.
Sure, go ahead.
Randall Barden, he showed a little quickness off the line in the preseason game. I was happy with his little catches. Going forward, what do we see with him? Do we see him taking over that starting role as a third receiver?
Okay.
And my second part of the question is Prince Mukamara.
Mm-hmm.
Is he ready to start?
Well, I think those are two guys that have some up and down moments in the game, in the first preseason game. It's been the story of both guys' careers as member of the Giants so far. Obviously, Ramsey's had far more opportunities than Prince in just his second year, Mike, but some good and some bad for both guys.
Yeah, I think Prince is further along at his position, really skill-wise, than Ramsey's is. I mean, Ramsey's has had some opportunities. He has been injured in the past, but he's certainly gotten many chances in this camp, and I don't think really he's stepped up the way the coaches would want him to. He had a chance to start the other night and really didn't make much of an impact on the game. He really needs to do something in these last three preseason games, I think. The second part of the question, yes, I do think Prince is ready to start. I mean, any young cornerback is going to make some mistakes. even the best cornerbacks are going to get beat once in a while, but Prince has a lot of talent, and I think he'll be very good at that spot.
And he had a rough first series. He allowed a couple of catches, but then on the second series, he made up for it a bit. And I'm not going to say, you know, a forced fumble makes up for not being able to cover somebody, yeah. But it was still a good aggressive play for him to rip that ball out of the running back's hands.
Yeah, and the only way he's going to get better is by being out there in the games. And he was. He played a lot, and I think he'll make an improvement going into the Jets game.
And if he's going to make mistakes, have him make them in the preseason. No, he's virtually a rookie here, considering how much playing time he had last season. Yeah. And if you're going to make mistakes, you want him to learn now. Don't have him learn week one against Dallas, against Miles Austin and Dez Bryant.
Yeah, and I think he's making mistakes because he's being aggressive, not because he's being timid. And that'll help him out eventually.
Well, the Giants did have one other bright note on the offensive side of the ball, and that came from newcomer Martellus Bennett. He had a touchdown catch, three other receptions, and he talked to the media today up in Albany.
What feedback did you hear from the coaches about what you did well out there and what you need to work on?
Me and Coach Pope, I tell Coach Pope that I don't think that I'm ever going to be good enough, you know, playing this game. So every single day is always something. You know, he says I did well on something. I'm like, Coach, I should have did. He's like, well, you could have did that too. So it's a great relationship that we're developing and starting to grow. And I think he wants me to be the best player I could possibly be. And I'm trying to be great myself. So every little part of the game we're trying to work on.
Are there any parts of those games that you're focusing on, you know, after this preseason game, knowing, you know, hey, this is what I have to work on most?
Mainly just technique, you know. I was fortunate enough to play behind a technician for 4 years, so I've become one of my own. So just my technique with everything, whether it's the right step so the tackle knows what I'm doing every single time, and the way I run my routes, that way Eli knows my body language and what I'm going to do on every single play. So just trying to be technically sound with everything that I'm doing out there.
And there's Martellus Bennett, and my coach talked about him in his press conference today after practice. And coach will never be, you know, too effusive in his praise of players during these press conferences, but you could tell there was an optimistic ring to his voice when he talked about the progress Martellus Bennett has made.
Yeah, well, I think it's obvious to anyone who's watched practice. Early on, he really wasn't that involved. He's had a lot more balls thrown at him. He's hung on to a lot more balls.
Frank, he looks faster than him.
Those look faster. Well, I think that's just get from being more comfortable in the offense. When you know what you're doing, you can play faster. You don't have to think about what your assignment is. And that is what we see now. And Coach, as you mentioned, I think Coach has clearly taken a liking to Martellus Bennett.
Let's go to the phones, and we'll have more on that, Coach. He didn't have plenty at the press conference. We'll talk about it in a second. But I'm going to go back to our phones at 518-437-3774. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Gerson. I'm calling from Los Angeles, California.
What's up, Thurston?
Good. I have two questions. One is about Bennett. I kind of heard you guys were talking a little bit about him, but he looked pretty good in the preseason. Just your thoughts on him going against Pasco. And my second one is regarding DJ Ware. I saw some of the plays he did, and what is his chance of winning the second running position?
Two good questions, Mike.
Bennett versus Pasco, to me, they're two very different guys. Pasco's almost a different position because he plays fullback and he's more in motion. I see Bennett as being more on the line, being more of a blocker than Pasco, although Bear does that well, certainly when he's playing fullback. As we've just mentioned, Bennett seems to be working himself into a larger role. Let's see how dependable he is. And DJ Ware, I don't know if he's going to be the second back, because I do think it'll be Wilson, but I think DJ Ware is still going to have a significant role on this team as both the third down back and really the short yardage back, the job that's open because Brandon Jacobs isn't here anymore. DJ says he's gained about 5 pounds or so, and he wants to play that role. So I think there is room for three running backs.
I'll tell you what, DJ Ware put a nice move on a guy in the open field, and he ran over another near the goal line. That was a very impressive performance from DJ Ware, and where he's going to earn that spot isn't preseason games. They've seen him in practice for years.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to do it on the field.
No question. And, you know, this is he's a six-year veteran now, and I talked to him last week. He says, you know, my time is running out. He's got to do something. And there are two, as we said, defined roles out there for him to fill if he can step up and take them.
Yeah, and I want to jump ahead here a little bit. It's supposed to be later on the show, but since the caller called about DJ Ware, I want to get to him right now. He had an opportunity to speak to the media up here in Albany earlier today, and he talked about the game on Friday night and the opportunities he's had in practice in earning that second running back spot.
Just going out there running hard is my main objective right now. And, you know, just stay positive on my yardage and, you know, my yards per carry and let the rest take care of itself.
Is it a motivating thing, though, for when they draft a guy at your position in the first round?
It is. You know, they're going to have to get him in the game sometimes. So you got to make it a point that, you know, this guy here is working and, you know, he stays positive. He stays getting yards and stay falling forward. And, you know, as long as I do that, then hopefully I'll be in the mix.
So you want him to make sure that he knows that you want his job as much as he wants your job?
Oh, most definitely. Definitely.
Is there enough for
three? It could be. I mean, but who knows, man. We have some good receivers that go out there and make plays, and, you know, they want the ball too. So, you know, it's hopefully we can find out a way to get that ball around enough for everybody on this squad.
Do you think what you can do on third down will give you an edge, though?
Maybe. Hope so. I pride myself in being a good blocker and, you know, running routes out there on third down. And if that means that right there give me extra edge, then, hey, I'm with it.
And DJ Ware looked good running the ball, Mike, and so did, I thought, Andre Brown, showing some of that power he's gotten, getting a little bit of weight, good weight in the last couple of years, still has that speed. I thought he showed a couple things in the running game.
Yeah, he did, and thanks for bringing that up, John, because I wrote a story about the running backs today and didn't even mention Andre Brown. So, but, yeah, he does. He's sort of the forgotten guy here in the running back battle, but I think, you know, he's kind of behind the others. If Darrell Scott remains healthy, so I don't know if there's going to be room here for Andre
Brown. And
he was
on the practice field today, right, Darrell Scott? He was back?
He was back. He did practice. It's a crowded situation in the backfield, but I think right now Bradshaw, Wilson, and Ware are clearly 1, 2, 3.
Are they going to carry a fourth running back on this roster?
I think they will. You know, it's always who's injured and what's going on in other positions, but I don't know that you really want to cut loose Darrell Scott. He's obviously got some talent. He was a draft choice, but... You know, we'll see what happens in the next three weeks.
518-437-3774, 518-437-3774, or you can send in your questions via Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. But for now, back to our phones. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Robert calling from Moose Jaw, Canada.
Yeah, Canada. What's Hello. Up, Robert?
I'm doing great. Is this really John Schmoke? Am I really talking to John Schmoke?
I know it must be a thrill for you, Robert.
No, this is really cool. I'm really excited. Big fan of your guys' show. I love it so much.
Thanks for
so
calling.
Wonderful. Two questions, actually. Dwayne Hendricks had an all-star performance, almost a Pro Bowl performance on Friday night. What do you think of his chances of cracking the starting lineup? And where was Dave Douglas on Friday? We heard so much about him through the training camp, and I didn't think he even got a snap, so... What are your thoughts on those two fellas?
Well, you're right. Douglas did not get a snap because he wasn't in Jacksonville. He didn't make the trip because of a quad injury, nor did he practice today. He has been a bit of a sensation in camp, but he was unable to play in the game. Going forward, I don't know what his status is. As far as Dwayne Hendricks, actually Coach Coughlin singled him out without prompting today and said... remarked about how hard Hendricks practices every play, and you always have to be ready to go against Dwayne Hendricks. That being said, I don't think he has any chance to crack the starting lineup, and he still might be a long shot to make the roster, depending on, as we said, Sean Rogers is sidelined, Rocky Bernard's had a bad knee. So it's possible with veterans like that, I'm not saying that they would do this. You know, you can always release them and bring them back and maybe to keep a guy like Dwayne Hendricks.
And they do like him a lot. He had a scary moment last week in practice. Went down, looked like a bad knee injury, but he managed to recover and he got back for the game, which everyone was very happy about. Back to our phones at 518-437-3774. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Mike from Tom's River.
What's up, Mike? Go ahead.
Hey, I want to know about Will Hill. He's one of the safeties here, trying to get a backup role with the Giants safeties. Who else is in line to get a position with Tyler Sash being suspended for the first four games?
Well, I guess Stevie Brown, and really, it's we're not nearly as deep at safety as we are at cornerback. I think Will Hill, based on the body work so far in camp, has an excellent chance to make the roster.
And that other guy that Coach actually mentioned today during his press conference are guys that played well, and he was happy with the energy and activity that he showed in the game, much like he shows up here in Albany. He was a guy that did transfer well what he's done on the practice field to the game field.
Yeah, and you know, he's always played well in that field in the Florida-Georgia game. Maybe it's just a good place for him. But he has been impressive for a guy who certainly didn't play last year. He doesn't show any rust. And I think, you know, Tyler Sash is going to be out the first 4 weeks of the season. So I think Will Hill's got a real chance to not only make the roster, but make an early impact.
A couple other guys that made some good plays in the game on Friday night. One is Isaiah Stanback, who really made the highlight catch of the game with one hand there on the sideline. And it's funny, he's a guy that's had some issues catching the ball up here in camp. He's had a couple of drops, a couple of times he's short on some passes, but that was a heck of a catch.
That was a great catch, an unbelievable catch. He said the receiver was holding his left arm, so he had no choice but to go up only with his right arm, and he made a great catch. And Coach Coughlin agreed it was a tremendous catch, but he also said Isaiah Thomas, Stanback, should be blocking. He's a guy who could be knocking people down, which is really a message delivered if you're Isaiah Stanback, that you better get out there and improve your blocking.
And if you're a guy trying to make the team, and he actually threw Ramsey's Barton into that mix too, yeah. If you're a guy that wants to make a team, you better do little things, like blocking the running game, and Stanback plays special teams, but Barton, again, it's just not a real factor on specials.
No, I think Stanback has a chance. He's a big, strong receiver. He has some experience in the league. He is versatile. I think he has a chance to be a surprise member of the roster.
All right, I want to go to our Giants.com message boards. Mike, you can send in your questions to boards.giants.com in the morning. Give some good questions, we'll put you on the air. And this question comes from B. Eli Eve. Who steps up and fills the void left by Dave Tollefson, since he went to Oakland? Will we see more Kiwanuka at defensive end this year?
You know, that's a popular question, John. It really is. And I still think we're not going to see that much Kiwanuka at defensive end, because who do you take off the field? Justin Tuck, Osa Umenyura, or Jason Pierre-Paul? And when you have three defensive ends like that, you just rotate them, I think, as much as possible. There will be packages where Kiwanuka will be up on the line. But I just don't see where, you know, you take JPP off to put Kiwanuka up there. Kiwanuka is one of your best linebackers. I think you want to keep those ends on the field.
Yeah, and Coach did mention, by the way, that Kiwanuka is a guy that is looking better at linebacker than he has in a while, being there for a second straight year now.
Yeah, he's getting very comfortable in that position, and I think he's really learned to like it. I'm not sure when he first moved he really liked the idea of playing linebacker, because he'd always been a defensive end. I think now it's really grown on him.
Now, one of the guys that could take that Dave Tollefson role is Adrian Tracy. It's a young guy that was a draft pick a couple years ago. He had a bad shoulder injury, really made him miss his entire rookie year. Hung out on the practice squad last year, got a lot of valuable reps, and he's really come to training camp and been a revelation. He had a chance to talk to the media at lunch today up here in Albany.
I mean, for me personally, what I saw is that, you know, I can add a little bit to my arsenal. A lot of people think that I'm small, and so I'm just going to hit him with a speed rush, but I was able to use some power, so hopefully I'll be able to use a combination of power and speed and be able to capitalize on, you know, passing situations.
How much does it help to work with the guys you're working with, the other veteran defensive backs, when it comes to adding to that arsenal?
It helps a lot, and I think the biggest thing is that they have the experience, and they've been to the top of the mountain, and that's where I'm trying to get. And so, you know, I'm always in OC and Tuck's ear, asking them questions about run and pass plays and seeing what I can do better in both of those areas.
Was this the first time maybe in a couple of years that you felt in control on the field?
Yeah, I did, and it felt good. I knew my assignment, I knew my alignment and what I was supposed to do and what was required of me. Sometimes it may not have happened as I had hoped or the coaches had hoped, but I think that's the biggest thing, is knowing what you're doing, getting in line, and just going to play ball. I'm just excited, you know. This defense has a lot of tools and, you know, a lot of talent, and anywhere they can plug me in, I feel like it's an honor. And so if they told me to, you know, be any position, that's the position that I was going to work at and try my best to be.
And he's a guy that the Giants are very excited about, Adrian Tracy. Coaches called him compact, powerful, explosive, a speed rusher off the end. They converted linebacker and now a defensive end.
Yeah, he looks much bigger to me, upper body, than he was last year. And he's a guy that's an interesting prospect, because he was a defensive end at William & Mary. He came in 2 years ago. The Giants moved him to linebacker.
I thought he was a 3-4 outside linebacker, William & Mary. Am I wrong about that?
Defensive end,
my fault.
Yeah, and then they moved him to linebacker. He hurt his elbow. He missed the entire season on injured reserve. And then last year, he looked like he was making some progress, but he got cut, spent the season on the practice squad, as you mentioned. Did a lot of work there. So he really has hardly played any football in the last two seasons. Now looks like in camp, he's getting very comfortable being back at end. They told him before the OTAs he was going to be an end, and it's his natural position, and he looks like he's ready to contribute.
All right, Mike, let's go back to our calls at 518-437-3774, and he contributed in the game last night as well. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Richard Romanoff from North Carolina.
Richard, what's up, pal?
I'd like to know what you guys think about what Jerry Jones said from the Dallas Cowboys, saying, well, we're going to beat the Giants' butt this year. I said, well, plus what the other guy said from Green Bay, that you guys got lucky last year. I'm a diehard Giants fan. The Giants are a good team.
People are going to talk. I mean, honestly, my advice is don't listen to them. Because whoever wears the ring is basically going to have final say.
Yeah, really. First of all, why would you, as a Giants fan, care what Jerry Jones said?
And he's at a pep rally. What else is he going to say to people at a pep rally?
Yeah.
We're going to struggle with that Giants team week one, let me tell you guys.
We're going to go 8-8 this year. So I wouldn't worry about it. And, you know, the Packers, look, all losers have some sour grapes to some degree. Not everyone voices them, as the Packers did. But I was at the game. You were at the game. It looks to me we beat them fair and square. As Justin Tuck said, they didn't fumble by accident. We made them fumble. So.
And quite frankly, the Cowboys should have sour grapes. The Giants beat them twice in the last five games last year, and they really got to the playoffs and won the Super Bowl on the backs of the Cowboys. They really stuck it to them.
Yeah, and the Giants are 3-0 in Cowboy Stadium, so it's understandable if the Cowboys are getting a little sick of losing to the Giants.
All right, I want to go to Twitter here. This question coming in from @ChillWinston. He wants to know... Marvin Austin, he thought he looked very explosive in the game on Friday night. If he looks like that during the season, this according to Chill Winston, he'll be a beast. Mike, your thoughts on the early progress of Marvin Austin in camp in his first preseason game?
I'm reluctant to call anybody a beast, but I think
I'm pretty sure that's a compliment.
Yeah, I think he has looked good, particularly since he's not really played football since 2009. And now, again, with the uncertainty over Sean Rogers, he's got a real opportunity. And if he keeps progressing, he's going to... I think the Giants have the best defensive line in the league, and he can be part of that rotation.
All right, let's go back to our calls at 518-437-3774. Caller, you're on the air. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Caller.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Okay, because I couldn't hear you for a second, John.
No worries.
How you doing? Big up to Brooklyn. This is Chris. I'm down in Pensacola.
Hey, what's up, Chris?
I'm from Brooklyn originally.
Nice.
You might remember me, John.
Oh, what's up, dude?
Representing to the fullest.
Nice.
Look, I just wanted to talk about the linebackers, if you will. I didn't really get to see the whole game. And what I saw of Hurtswick, he didn't look all that good. But when I read about it, Coach Coughlin said that he did do well. He had a couple of hiccups, and I think I only got a chance to see the hiccups. So could you give me some more about that? And also, if you could tell your partner to stop scowling all the time. I'm just kidding, Mike.
Go ahead, bud. All right. Well, Coach Coughlin, after the game, kind of alluded to a disappointment with the linebackers. And then when it was brought up to him yesterday, he kind of denied it, said he doesn't remember saying it. But he was asked about Hurtswick, and he had nice things to say about Hurtswick, said he was very aggressive, knew his assignments, did well. I don't know that Hurtswick is going to have enough to take that middle linebacker starting spot away from Chase Blackburn.
I guess he'll have to earn more in the next few preseason games than once the regular season starts.
Yeah.
518. 437-3774, 518-437-3774. You can also reach us via Twitter at #GiantsChat. And Mike, one other thing Coach mentioned today, at least, he thought the backup offensive line struggled a little bit in that game, and he wasn't thrilled with the Giants' run defense on that opening drive either.
Well, he wasn't thrilled with the defense at all in the opening drive.
Right.
The ones gave up an 89-yard drive the first time the Jaguars had
the ball. To Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah. So, let's not be ripping Blaine Gabbert.
Well, he had a rough year last year, let's be honest.
And look, it was anyone who watched the game could see that the backup offensive linemen were struggling,
right,
particularly the third group of Perillo in there at the end. So, depth on the offensive line, I think, was a question coming into camp, and it's still a question as we're getting ready to leave camp.
Back to our calls at 518-437-3774. Cole, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Dave from the Bronx.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, can you explain how the physically unable to perform list works in Terrell Thomas' case? When will he be eligible for return if he's placed on there before the season starts?
Well, if you practiced in camp, which he did practice, you can't go on it now. I'm not sure what the regular season rule is. They might be able to use it in the regular season, but they can't put him on it now because he was on the practice field.
And there you go. So Terrell Thomas obviously will try to work his way back. The timetable he gave, about 3 to 8 weeks, Mike. And real quick, before we say goodbye here, you figure they're going to take it slow with him, right? End of September, beginning of October?
Well, I think they're going to take it slow, and he's going to take it slow because he may be rushed a little bit, but he's not going to take any chances. It's going to be interesting to see how the Giants work that, because if they keep him on the roster as a player, he's not going to be able to get out there for 3 to 8 weeks.
Mike, thanks a lot. We appreciate the time as always.
My pleasure, John.
And that's all the time we have for Big Blue Kickoff live here on Giants.com and on your Giants mobile phone via the mobile app. Presented by Andrew Mark right here on Giants.com. We'll be with you for two more shows. Tomorrow I'll be joined by Paul Dottino. Then we're going to try to wrangle Bob Pop on Tuesday. So make sure you stay tuned for those two shows next couple of days at 5:30 after Giants practice. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time on Giants.com right here from Albany, New York. We'll see you then.